නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. Hello, this is Lal from purodhamma.net. In this discourse, we will talk about the principle of cause and effect in Buddha Dhamma and how conditions play a big role in the implementation of this cause and effect. In the last discourse, we discussed how miccha ditthi leads to miccha samadhi, and therefore it is a hindrance to attain samma samadhi. In order to attain even the mundane samma samadhi, we first need to get rid of miccha ditthi, or the wrong visions and perceptions about the world that we have. This is described in the previous post, Getting to Samadhi. In an earlier post, we discussed how miccha ditthi tend to encourage bad gati and lead to automatic arising of akusala thoughts in our minds in response to sense events. This is discussed in the post, How are gati and kilesa incorporated into thoughts? For example, when we see something enticing, we may have thoughts arising to do immoral things in order to take possession of such a valuable object. Or when we see a person that we don't like, we may automatically generate bad thoughts about him or her. So, bad ingrained gati can lead to bad thoughts, speech, and actions. And when one keeps doing such bad actions by the body, speech, or the mind, those bad gati will increase in strength. Therefore, it is a self-feeding process, and we need to stop it by being mindful of the bad thoughts that arise in our minds. This is discussed in the earlier post, Satipatthana Sutta, Relevance to Suffering in This Life. So, all the posts in this section up to this point were focused on clarifying these important points. If you have not done so, please start from the beginning of this section. That will make it much easier to grasp increasingly deeper concepts. So, in order to break that downward path and to start on the noble path, we need to start by getting rid of these miccha ditthi. The 10 types of miccha ditthi are listed in the post Dasa Akusala or 10 defilements. Instead of addressing miccha ditthi in terms of just those 10 types listed, it is more beneficial to look at the underlying issue of why those views result. Then it will become clear why those miccha ditthi are bad, and it is imperative to get rid of them. For example, it is very hard for many people to wrap their minds around the rebirth process, or that some beings can be born instantaneously, what are called opapatika births. That is because we are used to judging everything by what we can experience with our 5 physical senses. We have not been trained to use our 6th sense, that is our mind, to think about things that are beyond the grasp of our physical senses. The key principle that we are missing is the cause and effect, called Hetu and Pala in Buddha Dhamma. Hetu are the causes and Pala are the results. This is the underlying principle on how Kamma and Kamma Vipaka work, as we briefly mentioned in the last Desana. Today I want to discuss this in detail because it is of critical importance. When one understand cause and effect or hetupala, one will have no doubts about kamma and kamma vipaka or even rebirth. Since all kamma do not bring in vipaka in this life, they can bring those vipaka in future lives. This becomes another evidence or at least a key supporting factor for rebirth. So, cause and effect is the underlying principle how this world operates, as confirmed by science. Therefore, once we fully understand how cause and effect work in general, including mental phenomena, the rebirth process becomes an inherent part of it. These days, a major reason for giving priority to our physical senses is that it is easy to see the impressive advances made by science over the past 200 years. The material aspects over which scientists have had much success is due to the fact that causes and effects in the material realm are easy to see because they occur without a time delay. When you hit a tennis ball, the ball starts moving in a path that can even be calculated. And scientists can predict precisely when a rocket will land on the moon, even before it is launched. So scientists can see how causes lead to effects with high precision in many cases. But the workings of living things, and the mind effects in particular, are more subtle. And there's a time delay in seeing the effects in most cases, as we will see now. Don't worry, this is going to be easy to understand, and it is also critical to understand. We want to follow the path not with blind faith, but with wisdom and understanding. Many people, including scientists and philosophers, do not understand how cause and effect worked in the mental realm because they do not understand the role played by conditions called paccaya in Pali. Even if there are causes, the effects may not materialize if the necessary conditions or paccaya are not satisfied. This is a very important point. This is easier to explain with an example. For example, all necessary causes to bring about a tree are embedded in a seed. A seed is the cause for subsequent appearance of a tree. However, a seed cannot germinate unless suitable conditions are present. If one keeps a seed in a cool, dry place, it will just sit there for even thousands of years. On the other hand, if one plants the seed in the ground where sunlight is available and provides water and nutrients, it will germinate and grow to be a tree. So, a tree cannot just appear out of the blue. The cause or a seed must be there. But also, the necessary conditions for the seed to germinate and grow must be there for that seed to germinate. These required conditions are soil, water, and sunlight. Unless and until those conditions are satisfied, a seed will not even germinate. This is called Anantara Samanantara Paccaya, and it is described in the post Anantara Samanantara Paccaya. In the same way, the karmic energies created by our actions may not bring in their vipaka or results until suitable conditions appear. A given action by the body, speech, or the mind creates a karma seed or a karma bija with energy to bring in its fruits. It is just like a seed waiting for right conditions to germinate and to bring a tree into existence. Those karma seeds or karma bija are out there waiting for suitable conditions to bring their fruits. This is described in many posts, but two of them are sankhara karma, karma bija, karma vipaka. And there's another post entitled Nama Gotta Bhava Karma Bija and Manotalaya or Mind Plane. We have done uncountable good and bad things in the past. When we make suitable conditions, those can bring in the corresponding results. One may have the potential to become a neurosurgeon, but unless one prepares the necessary environment or the conditions for it, one will never get there. Just by wishing for it will not make one a neurosurgeon, even if one has the potential to become one. It is just like wishing a seed to grow and grow to be a big tree all by itself. That will never happen. In another example, one cannot pass an examination without studying for it, even if one is intelligent enough. Sometimes one needs to try out many different things before succeeding. That is because one may not have the right karma seed for it. For example, many small business owners, especially in the United States, try out many different ventures before hitting the right one. One has to keep trying until one finds one's niche. It's actually related to finding a good karma seed. So if we just wait for a previous good karma to bring in its fruits, that is unlikely to happen. It is the same for bad karma vipaka. If we venture out into a bad neighborhood at night time or at the wrong time, it is likely to set up suitable conditions for a previous bad karma vipaka to come to fruition. Or if one gets really drunk, one could act foolishly and get into trouble. But there are some strong karma vipaka that will happen regardless of conditions. Some people inherit wealth unexpectedly, and some people die of accidents. Those are somewhat like anantariya papa karma. As you know, if one commits an anantariya papa karma, like killing one's parents, then one will be born in the lowest realm without exception. When one dies. So there are some karma that are so strong that they do not require conditions to be just right. But in most cases, conditions play a major role. Sometimes many conditions need to be satisfied for some vipaka to bear fruit. Anantara samanantara paccaya is a common one, and that is why I wrote a post on it. But there are 24 such paccaya or conditions that are described in detail. This is why the enforcement of causes and effects is complicated for mental phenomena and also phenomena involving living beings, even like plants and trees. It is not possible for a normal human, no matter how intelligent, to figure out those paccaya or conditions until the Buddha comes to the world and explains them. This is why the Buddha is not like any other scientist or a religious leader. Another such condition or paccaya is asevana paccaya. Asevana means to associate with. An important example is the association with bad friends. An innocent teenager may be induced to start drinking and taking drugs if he or she makes bad friends. Now, if the conditions were different, that means if the parents made sure that he or she was allowed to hang out with only good friends, that may not have happened. But this concept can go much deeper. Even association with bad physical surroundings can bring in some old bad karma vipaka to fruition. For example, building a house in a flood zone makes the possibility of the house being destroyed by a flood to have a significant probability. Deciding to build in a flood-free area will make such an outcome unlikely, even if one has previous karma seeds suitable for such an event. Another such condition or paccaya is the arammana paccaya. The easiest example is the phrase avijja paccaya sankhara in the paticchasamuppada. A person who entered a shop without having an intention to steal may be tempted to steal an object that caught his attention. In that case, that object became a very strong arammana or a thought object. The bad gati for stealing that was lying dormant and was awakened by the sight of that object. Now, thousands of other people may have seen the same object, but the thought of stealing it never occurred to them because the arammana paccaya was not at play for them. I will mention just one more paccaya that is easy to understand. It is the ahara paccaya or the food condition. When a seed germinates, it needs food to grow. Any living being needs food. So even if all other conditions are right, a living being cannot grow without the food condition being satisfied. Another important application of ahara paccaya is in the growth of a vijnana. As we will discuss later, vachi sankhara are the food for a given vijnana. A vijnana is a mindset, and we may have millions of different types of vijnana at different times. Sometimes we have compassionate vijnana, and other times, when we think about an enemy, we may have a hateful vijnana. For example, that hateful vijnana can grow if we provide it with vijnana ahara. These vijnana ahara are nothing but the vachi sankhara that we discussed recently. If we keep thinking bad thoughts about that person, then we will be generating a lot of vachi sankhara, and that will provide food for that hateful vijnana to grow. So, anantara, samanantara, asevana, arammana, and ahara paccaya are just five of 24 possible such conditions. But at this point, all we need to know is that just causes are not enough to bring about their effects or results. Suitable conditions or paccaya are needed to be satisfied. This is an important point to remember. Now, these conditions do not play a major role in the interaction of inert material objects in most cases. But there are some cases where conditions need to be satisfied for an event to take place even in the material realm. For example, there may be a bomb that may not explode until it's moved or some pressure applied to it, like in the case of an explosive device meant to be triggered by pressure. But when it comes to living beings, things become much more complex, simply because there are those 24 conditions that we need to pay attention to if we really need to analyze a given situation. Not one, but many of those 24 conditions can be in play in a given situation, and that is why it is much more complex compared to material phenomena. However, we don't need to analyze things in great detail. We just need to know or realize that how causes and effects work differently when the mind is involved. Some effects materialize much later after the causes were put in place. This explains the time delay that is involved in bringing kamma vipaka. So, things just don't happen without causes. But even if causes are present, they may not bring in results or the effects until suitable conditions are satisfied. These conditions or paccaya play a critical role in paticchasamuppada. This was briefly described in the post, "What does paccaya mean in paticchasamuppada?" I will give the link to that post. When we say avijja paccaya sankhara, it means we do sankhara with ignorance when necessary conditions are present. For example, we do not do immoral acts or apunyabhi sankhara all the time, like in the case of stealing an object that we discussed above. When we are attached to or repulsed by something that we see, we may generate craving or a dislike, and then it can lead to an immoral action or an apunyabhi sankhara. For example, when an enemy of a person X sees that person X, hateful thoughts may arise. But the sight of X by his wife will generate loving feelings in her. That is the arammana paccaya that we mentioned above. It depends on the arammana that arises in a given person. A stranger may not even notice X, since there is no arammana of either kind, good or bad. So the summary of the above discussion is this: nothing arises in this world without causes. A tree cannot appear without there being a seed. But even if causes are there, the results will not appear until suitable conditions are made. And karma will bring karma vipaka only if and only when right conditions appear. We as humans produce such causes by doing kusala or akusala karma. This is very important to comprehend. Because those causes can bring their good or bad results, or vipaka sometimes in the future. Those karma seeds or karma bija are going to be out there. They can bring their results or vipaka when we make suitable conditions for them to take hold. This is the basis of Buddha Dhamma. But as we discussed in the first few desanas in this section, sometimes we can immediately see karma vipaka due to some karma. When we get angry and think and speak angry words, we can feel the heat or the fire or tapa that is generated right away. Our whole bodies get transformed. Our faces become red and the blood flow increases and we become very uncomfortable. So whether and how a karma will bring in karma vipaka can be very different in different situations. That is why people do not normally comprehend how the principle of cause and effect works. This knowledge, or rather this understanding of how karma and karma vipaka work, is called kammasagata sammaditti, and is a requirement to attain mundane samma samadhi. When one fully understands this, it will be easier to see that the rebirth process has a logical foundation. This is because one can now clearly see that most of karma or one's actions are going to have corresponding vipaka or results in the future. So if one does actions suitable to be born in the apayas, one is likely to be born in the apayas, unless one removes the ability for such conditions to appear in the future. We will discuss the details in the next discourse, where we will discuss paticca samuppada. Paticca samuppada simply means things happen due to actions and the results are in accordance with the causes that led to those results. Just because we see people doing immoral things without them being subjected to corresponding punishments, that does not mean they are getting away with it. Those actions can bring their vipaka or fruits in future lives if suitable conditions are not made in this life. There are two ways to avoid karma vipaka. One is that those karma seeds or karma bija will lose their energy with time. They can last at most 91 eons, but that's a pretty long time. They are just like regular seeds, which lose their power over time. The other way is to attain the four stages of Nibbana and remove the possibility of making conditions for any karma seed to germinate. Those karma seed may be there, but they will not have the right conditions to take hold. A sotapanna, like any other human, would have many karma done in previous lives that makes him or her to have causes to be born in the apayas. But after attaining the sotapanna stage, one would never make conditions suitable for those strong karma seeds to germinate. This is why a sotapanna will never be born in the apayas, despite the fact that there may be suitable karma seeds associated with him or her. There are two main types of karma seeds. Those seeds that can bring vipaka during a lifetime are called pavutti kamma vipaka or pravutti kamma vipaka. Then there are strong ones that can lead to rebirth, and they are called janaka kamma. All of us are likely to have many of both kinds of kamma bija. In particular, there are uncountable number of pavutti kamma vipaka waiting to bear fruit. So in principle, there are likely to be many pavutti kamma vipaka potent enough to impart horrendous types of pain and suffering to us. But they can bring in their vipaka only when the conditions are right, which means if and when we are born in the apayas. Our human bodies do not provide the samanantara paccaya for such strong kamma vipaka to materialize. Only the body of a hell being can withstand such strong types of suffering. We will be dead in an instant, so we will not even experience it. But if we ever get born in an apaya, then at that time those vipaka can bear fruit. In the same way, we also are likely to have good karma seeds to bring about heavenly pleasures that are available in the Deva realms or Brahma realms. Again, our bodies are not fine enough to be able to experience such types of pleasures. One has to be born in a Deva realm for such good karma vipaka to come to fruition. So we can see that this anantara samanantara paccaya can help explain many things. Now let us see how a janaka kamma leads to a new birth at the chuti patisandhi moment. We first remember that a chuti patisandhi transition to a new bhava or an existence does not happen at each and every time the physical body dies. We may have karmic energy for the human existence for thousands of years. However, the human body can last for only about 100 years. Therefore, a given human is likely to be born a human at least several times before that energy runs out. This is discussed in the post Bhava and Jati, states of existence and births therein. So when a human dies, and if his or her karmic energy for that human existence has run out, then a new existence is grasped at the moment of death, which becomes a chuti patisandhi moment. What happens there is that the person will start seeing a sign of the next life that is in line. Of all the janaka kamma that one has done, the strongest one will be in line first. So when it comes close to the chuti patisandhi moment, and sometimes even within a few months of death, a sign of the next life for that janaka kamma may come to that person. He or she will start seeing such a sign in the mind, like in a dream. This is common for older people who are close to exhausting their karmic energy as well as the lifetime of their physical bodies. Some people cry out in fear when they see visions of the Apayas, and some other people may remain calm and peaceful and may say that they see peaceful visions. Such visions are called nimitta. There are several different types of nimitta that comes to the mind close to the chuttipatisandhi moment. A gati nimitta will show a sign that is compatible with one's dominant gati. For a person who habitually drinks, it could be a visual of a favorite drink, which in the past led him to not to be able to walk on 2 feet. Now, if he grasps that nimitta at the dying moment, then he will be likely to be born an animal who walks on all 4 legs. Of course, he will willingly grasp that nimitta because that is what he is used to do. This is explained in the post, how character or gati lead to bhava and jati. Then there are kamma nimitta. One may see a playback of a specific kamma that one did in the past. That past scene will be played back in one's mind. Another nimitta that is that of a recent kamma called asanna kamma. Again, that kamma will be played back in one's mind. For example, someone who shot a deer in the past may see himself holding a gun and a deer in a situation pretty much similar to what happened in the past. He is then likely to go through with that action again in his mind, and that is grasping that kamma nimitta. This rebirth suitable for that kamma will be grasped in that next thought moment. Now, in the case of this hunter, if he has realized the immorality of hunting, he could have changed and may have given up hunting. In that case, his mind may not grasp that nimitta, and then it would not lead to a rebirth of suitable kind or corresponding type. The condition or the state of his mind is now not suitable to grasp that nimitta. This is why kamma is not deterministic. Not all kamma bring in vipaka. The conditions must be right to bring in that vipaka. So now we can see why a sotapanna would no longer have the mindset to grasp a kamma nimitta suitable for birth in the apayas. There may be suitable kamma seeds, and they may even bring in a kamma nimitta at the moment of death, but a sotapanna would not grasp it. It is done automatically. This is the upadana paccaya bhava step in paticca-samuppada cycle that takes place at the chuttipatisandhi moment. It happens automatically. So we can state it in a bit different way now. The conditions are not there for a sotapanna to grasp that bad kamma nimitta. His or her lobha, dosa, and moha have been permanently reduced to raga, patiga, and avijja. That strong kamma bija or the kamma seed cannot germinate in his or her mind. Necessary conditions for them to germinate have been removed. Now, if you don't understand all these different ways of looking at it, don't worry too much about it. When you keep rereading or re-listening, things will become crystal clear. When we learn Dhamma, we will be able to look at the same issue from very many different angles, and they are all interconsistent. So I hope I presented some evidence to contemplate on. This is what real meditation is. A concept has to be logical for the mind to grasp willingly. One cannot force an idea to one's mind. It is important to remember what we discussed in the previous desana. One needs to set up conditions for the mind to get into samadhi or the right mindset in order to fully grasp Dhamma concepts. May the blessings of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha be with you always.